context of the psalm that we heard, which was actually written by King David after he received the comfort of his sins being forgiven. He says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover my iniquity. I said I will confess my sins to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word brings us such great comfort. So bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, so they may be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Yes, we have three interesting characters in our Bible readings today. We have King David in our Old Testament, and then in our Gospel reading we have Simon the Pharisee and an unnamed woman. All three of these play a significant role to help us understand our relationship with God. King David committed a shocking sin. While one of his fighting men, Uriah, was out fighting against the Philistines, David saw his wife, Bathsheba, sunbaking on the roof next door. Now, her husband was away, and David had it in his heart to have an affair with her. I mean, who would find out? Uriah was not there. And David used his position of power to put Bathsheba in a situation to which she could not say no. I mean, who would dare to say no to the king of Israel? But what David didn't count on was Bathsheba becoming pregnant. How now will he deal with his problem? Well, David devised a plan. Bring Bathsheba's husband home from the war, because having been away from Bathsheba for such a long time, he will go and be with her. And they will think that the child is his. But the problem was, Uriah was such a dedicated soldier that he refused to be with his wife while his fellow men were out fighting. So David had to go to plan B. Get Uriah drunk. Then he won't think of anything, and problem will be solved. But Uriah didn't act. So David devises a final plan. Send Uriah back into the fighting, but send an instruction to the general. Have all the men retreat when the enemy comes, but leave Uriah there. And it worked. Uriah was killed in battle. Now David, all he had to do was marry Bathsheba. The child is his, and therefore the child is legitimate. Problem is solved. But David did not find peace. Simon found a different way to deal with his sin. What he did was he pointed out other people's sins. And if you've done good things with your life, which Pharisees did, Pharisees were the upholders of the law, that's even better. Simon looked with disgust on this woman that had walked her way into his house. And then he saw her touching Jesus. And he says to himself, if this man, Jesus, were a prophet, he would know who and what kind of woman this was who was touching him. He would know that she was a sinner and not have her touch him. Simon was very astute, because Jesus knew exactly what kind of woman this was and who she was. Simon's guests were also very astute. They said to themselves, "Who is this who can forgive sins? We thought only God could forgive sins." Now, what Simon and his guests meant as criticism of Jesus actually turned out to be truthful, prophetic statements. He knew who she was, and he did forgive her sins. Now, that should be our understanding as well when it comes to our own lives. Jesus knows our lives more intimately than we ourselves know them. Jesus knows your struggles. Jesus knows our secret struggle with our secret sins. And he doesn't want us to be weighed down by them, because that's what sin does. It weighs us down with guilt and shame. And we try all sorts of ways to either hide them or excuse them. But Jesus wants to forgive us. Jesus knows the harm that sins do. And that's what David discovered and the reason why he wrote that psalm. He says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. They were crushed." He says, "I acknowledge my sin to you. I confess my sins to the Lord, and he forgave the guilt of my sin." King David wrote that after having experienced the grace of God when the prophet Nathan accused him of his sin. The final character in our reading was the unnamed woman. Now, some believe that it's probably Mary Magdalene, who was a sinner, according to the Gospels. But then others believe it could be the other Mary, Mary the sister of Lazarus. Some believe it may even be the woman who was caught in adultery earlier on, and that she had come to show her appreciation to Jesus for having removed the accusers who wanted to put her to death. Now, who she is not important. The importance is the relationship that she has with Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't reject her the way that other people did. In fact, Jesus never rejected any sinner. He didn't reject the woman who was caught in adultery. He didn't reject Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who was rejected by everyone in the town. But Jesus invites him down and says, "I'm going to eat with you tonight." Jesus didn't reject the Samaritan leper. He didn't reject the Samaritan woman at the well, even though others did. There is no sinner that Jesus rejects. The only ones that Jesus rejects in the Gospels were the ones who used their righteousness, their goodness, to bring themselves up and to put other people down. Like Simon the Pharisee at the dinner table. Jesus also pronounced, "Woes to you hypocrites. You say one thing and yet do another." The woman here is an image of the loving freedom that God intends for every human being. In Jesus, she experiences forgiveness and the freedom that she receives from God's grace. Those like Simon prevent themselves from experiencing that grace because they bring up their own goodness rather than receiving God's grace. Or there are those like King David who prevent God's grace because they try to prove to God why they did what they did, or proving to God by hiding it, as David tried to do. But what King David discovered is that the comfort they initially get doesn't last. Sin opens a foothold for Satan the accuser to come in and use our sin against us through guilt, through shame, through embarrassment. That's the difference, friends, that we face. Worldly comfort cannot replace the comfort of knowing that God has forgiven us. People think they find comfort when they get away with something. No one saw them do it, and therefore they believe they got away with it. Or they justify what they did I did it because they did it to me. The woman discovered a different comfort. God was able to provide her with a peace that the world could not give her. Just like the woman who was caught in adultery, Jesus firstly removes her accusers, so she no longer has to face death for her crime. But now she needs another comfort. She needs to find comfort from the spiritual death that sin can bring into a person's life, as it separates a person from God. Simon and David only knew the peace that the world could give, but it wasn't enough. Simon by his good deeds, David by trying to hide the fact. Now sadly, there are many like this unnamed woman who carry a big burden of not being good enough. And sadly, the church has played a big role in making them feel that way. So we need to be sure that we are not playing the role of Simon the Pharisee, looking down on people, or even looking down on people who help them. But maybe you are the unnamed woman in our reading. Maybe you feel as if you are not worthy of God's acceptance. Maybe you are weighed down by a particular sin that you think, surely God could not forgive that. Don't be like King David. Don't make an excuse. Don't believe that you can hide that sin away. Because as I said, we have an adversary. We have one that works against us. We call him Satan. When Suzanne was baptized, that was why the very first question we asked, do you reject the devil and all his works and all his ways? Because he will find those sins that we hide away, and he will bring them up, and he will accuse us. He will make us feel shocking about them. Jesus came for that very reason. Paul says if there is something we can do to deal with our sin, then Christ died for nothing. There is nothing we can do except to fall on the grace of God. Jesus didn't die for nothing. He died to set you free. He died to bring peace between you and God. He died that you might live and not die the spiritual death that we all deserve. So friends, may the peace of God that surpasses our understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen. I invite you to stand as we now confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, but under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we sing.